There was an ad campaign in Springfield recently. A bank was opening a new branch. It was going to offer better, faster, nicer service. It seems that we are a nation that waiting in lines. We wait for weekends. We wait for vacations. We wait for paydays. But the cute line in the entire campaign was, "No more waiting. Just wait and see." Well, the truth of the matter is, we are waiters. Simeon, it seems, waited for the consolation of Israel. The account is given us in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Well, Simeon did see Jesus, and he praised God for it. The phrase, "the consolation of Israel," is the same as the phrase Paul used in Acts 28:20, "the hope of Israel." We too wait on this hope. But like the TV commercial, the ad campaign, is this waiting a waiting of weariness? God has said, "They shall not be ashamed that wait for me." In waiting for the consolation of Israel, we then are waiting for God. And our wait will not be in vain, because God has promised its fulfillment. Romans 4. Verses 20 through 22, "He staggered," Abraham that is, "not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And Hebrews 6, verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Our friends and acquaintances do not understand our feeling. They do not understand our belief. They do not understand our waiting on this consolation. The company I work for does business all over the world. We have in the past done business with Iran, and now we are actively pursuing an account in the United Arab Emirate of Dubai. I said I would not process any orders destined for the Arabs because I was sympathetic to the Jewish cause. Well, since I may still maintain my Canadian citizenship, and they know it, and since the opinion most Americans have of Canada is French, they started calling me a French Canadian Jew. This was mostly all in jest, and so it was taken fairly well by all parties, I thought. Well, when Ronald Reagan announced America's willingness to send Marines to Lebanon, I was asked what I thought of the situation, especially since initially it appeared the Marines would be used to, quote, quotation marks, rescue the PLO. Well, let me tell you, everything I said was wrong. Taken completely out of context, twisted 10 different ways, and generally made a mess of. Well, to make the best of a bad situation, my only recourse, and I must admit maybe it should have been my initial comment, was, there really are only two classes of people in the world, those two being Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles. These two classes might be expressed other ways, but as natural Gentiles, we as Christadelphians should have a keen interest in the fortunes of the Jews. The Bible, it has been said, is a book outlining the rise of the fortunes of the nation of Israel, the fall of the fortunes of the nation of Israel, and the eventual rise again of the fortunes of Israel. The question must then be asked, why doesn't the world understand? 80 or 90 years ago, who really cared about those masses of people that called themselves Zionists? Today, who really cares about those bloodthirsty Jews? Especially when every graphic image we have of a Jew today is either an argumentative parliamentary session or a gun-toting soldier kicking a poor Arab that has just been dragged from his car or shop. The question is often asked, would the world be a better place? Does it really matter where the Jews live? Who cares? After all, aren't we really paying more for gasoline because of the Jews? The truth of the matter is that the establishment of a homeland for the Jews is not what is meant by the phrase, the consolation of Israel. When we know the truth, we know that the restoration and security of the Jews in its completeness means everything we can desire for men or nations or peoples. Where can we find this truth? Can we find it in the evening paper? Can we find it on television? Can we find it in the history section of the public library? The truth can only be found within the pages of one book, within the pages of God's revealed word. Moses, speaking to the 12 tribes of Israel, 40 years after leaving Egypt, said, Thou art a holy nation unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The prophet Isaiah records these words, This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. The method and process of the formation and choice are abundantly illustrated within the pages of the Bible. First of all, Abraham, in Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There appears in this chapter a very key comment, almost as an afterthought, really. Verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. There is another physical description of the land promised, given in the account of Abram separating himself from Lot. Genesis 13, beginning at verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Where did Abram pitch his tent? In the plain of Mamre, over near Hebron. As best as I can figure, Abram was promised that portion of the land from midway up the Dead Sea to slightly north of the Sea of Galilee, bounded on the east by the Dead Sea, on the west by the Great Sea. When you stand on a flat plain, the horizon is, what, 10, 15, 20 miles away? When you stand in a valley, the horizon is no further than the nearest hill. But when you stand on top of a hill, the horizon may be 50 miles or better away. That distance is, of course, greatly magnified if you arise and walk through the land as Abram did. Such was the physical description of the land promised to Abram and his seed forever. So as we might more readily perceive what was promised some 4,000 years ago. Present-day Israel encompasses land from the south end of the Dead Sea to just north of the Sea of Galilee. Now that we have a picture of the land promised, what about the people that would inherit that land? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Moses speaking to the children of Israel. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This chosen people held such promise. Exodus 24, verse 3. And the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. This chosen people had such opportunity. They shall show forth my praise. Yet we know that this opportunity was not taken, and this promise has not been fulfilled. It is recorded that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There has never yet been a time when this has been so. Why? Because all families of the earth have not yet been blessed, as was promised to Abram at the very beginning of this calling and of this choosing process. People today look at the Jews and say, how can we expect any such result from such a people? In this, they judge by appearance. And in this, they judge not knowing the facts. They are ignorant to divine oracles. They are blind to current events. We know what has been accomplished through these sons of Abraham. The righteousness of God exhibited in the law. The great and precious promises revealed through the prophets, the raising up of a numerous family of righteous servants to God in their several generations, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. To them, as Paul summarizes the matter, pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. In other words, to the Jews were the oracles of God given. Left to themselves, the children of Israel, the Jews, probably would never have left Egypt, but by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm, God brought them out. God laid hold of them and by them and through them accomplished the desired results. So when we see the Jews in our day, scattered or embattled, cursed or ridiculed, God's purpose is being carried out. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Verse 10, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. Well, they didn't keep his commandments, as the record shows. And it is in spite of their wicked ways that God's purpose is being carried to its eventual and righteous conclusion. I do not this for your sakes, speaking of their regathering, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. I will be sanctified in you before their eyes. Hence, the purpose of God is irrespective of any condition they may be in. And our interest, which I had to learn, in them arises from the purpose, and not for what they are in themselves. Not till they are saved can we look for the promised blessing. For what is their salvation? Their gathering, their peace, their purification, but the beginning of the setting up of the kingdom of God. When we look at the matter in this way, we see that this thing that people talk so coldly of as the restoration of the Jews is really the beginning of the salvation of God in the earth. The planet Earth as a globe is roughly 7,900 miles in diameter, 25,000 miles in circumference, roughly. There are 6 continents, 149 countries. There are numerous trouble spots, some of which command our attention from time to time, but none so frequent, none so commanding as the land bridge between Africa and Asia, the Middle East. World opinion is divided on this area more so than any other. World domination has hinged on this area more frequent than any other. Yet the uninformed still say, who cares? At present, the world population exists in darkness. Not just darkness, meaning absence of light, but oppressive drear and hopelessness. Little children have nothing to grow up for. The only escape offered the masses are shrouded in lies, deceit, and wickedness. Like the children of Israel, we are handed a two-sided coin. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. We, like those Israelites, have those same choices. We are not unlike those children, those Jews, surrounded on all sides by wickedness, yet guided by God's protective hand. We have the freedom of choice. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Paul also attests to this in his letter to the Galatians. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Paul mentions something in verse 21 that heretofore I have purposefully left unsaid, that being the kingdom of God. Initially, we began talking about the consolation of Israel, or as Paul put it, the hope of Israel. Paul also expressed this thought, as the hope and resurrection of the dead, and also as the hope of the promises made of God unto our fathers. To the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 16, he said, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 29. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Orthodoxy has presented the masses with a wonderful picture of reward. And what do they have to do in return? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't have to be obedient. They certainly don't have to seek after righteousness. They don't have to know a single thing about God. They don't have to know a single thing about Christ. They don't have to know a single thing about God's plan and purpose. Yet the Scriptures cry out the warning. To Saul, Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. To Timothy, Paul wrote, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some effort is required. But sometimes that effort is hard to come by. Moses, by command of God, sent spies into the land to see the land, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be, whether in tents or in strongholds. What was their report? Numbers 13, verse 27. Starting at verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Majority ruled in this mission, and this majority didn't think the land could be taken. The people were of great stature, and the land was not worth the risk. Yet weren't they told by Moses, If thou shalt say in thine heart, These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. That was the situation then with the Jews. That is the situation now with mankind. Jesus, speaking of the world, said, Ye worship, ye know not what. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Further testimony that the world will go the way of faithless Israel is recorded in Acts 15. Beginning at verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. God's declared purpose then is to populate the earth with righteous peoples. Isaiah 45:18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited." And Paul said that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Most of the world believes in universal salvation. We know there is no truth in that doctrine. Most of the world believes that the promises made to Abraham were fulfilled by their occupation under David and Solomon. We know there is no truth in that doctrine either. The world, in a nutshell, has chosen to compromise. They have chosen to be stubborn. And they have chosen not to acknowledge what the Scriptures hath revealed. Why are we so stubborn? Why do we insist on saying, "I'll do it my way"? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that way is all wrong. The end are the ways of death. Consolation implies a previously grieved and afflicted state. Such has been the state of Israel for ages. Such is the state, more or less, of all who make the hope of Israel their hope, and who thereby become incorporate in the commonwealth of Israel to whom the promises belong. The consolation of Israel for which Simeon waited is that for which we also wait. When it comes, it will be real. It will be adequate. It will be everlasting. Shall we not then with patience wait? Brethren, my effort here this evening is as nothing beside the work of some who have done. My ability to present the truth, to express that hope that dwells within me, is overshadowed many times by most of yours. But I am strengthened by the words of Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." so to all of you who have made this a most enjoyable experience for me and my family. May I repeat some words of Moses? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.